What you're feeling right now is the presence of the Lord. It's all right to cry.
Yes.
It's all right to lift your hands. It's all right to talk to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're not here on accident today. Well, I just came because somebody invited me. No, no, no. God has divinely appointed for you to be here today. And God has amazing things for you today. Amen. Those of you that are guests here, I know how you feel. I am too. Now, I just happened to be preaching, but they had to tell me where to go and where to sit and where the bathrooms are. And so I know what it's like to feel a little bit out of place and not sure where or what to do. But I can tell you this. You're in a safe place today. Amen. As pastor, I'm not the pastor, but this church is so blessed to have Pastor and Sister Linder right here on the front row. We are spoiled rotten. Amen. We appreciate the man of God and his family. Whew, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Man, I'm so excited. I was going to talk about baptism. Pastor's already hit it. Listen, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, just tell whoever invited you, whoever you're sitting with, find an usher and just tell them, I got to be baptized today in Jesus' name. And they'll make sure you get where you need to go. Amen. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, you're missing life's greatest experience. Let me explain it to you like this. How many of you believe that someone can be possessed of an evil spirit? We're in the South. Most of us believe that. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means this evil spirit moves inside of you and it begins to lead you and influence you and guide you toward evil things. It's that simple. But you were never created to be possessed of an evil spirit. However, it is the will of God for you to be possessed of the Holy Spirit. Now, we call it getting the Holy Ghost or being filled with the Holy Ghost, but it is merely being possessed of the Holy Spirit. What happens? The Holy Spirit moves inside of you, begins to lead you and guide you and influence you toward holy things. Listen, and it's free. Come on, if Walmart was giving away something, we'd be camped out in tents in the parking lot. But we're talking about the King of Glory giving away the Holy Ghost for free. It is the will of God for you to receive that gift today. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated for just a moment. It is such an honor to be here. I'm so thankful for Pastor and Sister Linder. We came here knowing of them, but we're leaving friends, and we appreciate everything you've done. You know, a lot of times we don't see what a pastor does, but the Bible says a bishop must be given to hospitality. And so I want to let you know that Pastor and Sister Linder have gone above and beyond just simple hospitality for us. And so they have just, I mean, constantly concerned about us. What do you need? What do you need? Giving us a place to live, taking us out to eat, making sure everything's provided for us. So you're blessed that the man of God in your life, amen, has taken care of us. And we're so very grateful. I'm also grateful for pastors that care enough about the kingdom to give outside the local church. And I'm grateful for churches that care enough about World Harvest to send missionaries to places they can't go. And we can't all go to the mission field. We're not all supposed to go to the mission field, but we can send somebody. And we're headed to the nation of Germany, population 83 million. And if you'd like to follow us on Facebook, you can follow us at Impact Germany, Impact Germany, or on Instagram at Impact_Germany. We've been connected with Germany since the mid-90s. In fact, my daughter and son-in-law and my two little grandbabies just got home from working in the city of Berlin. And we're excited about what God's doing in their life. And I'm so glad to be traveling with my wife. So, babe, I want you to greet us.
Praise the Lord. It is wonderful to be in service this morning with the beautiful people on Sunday, all dressed up and ready to worship. I'm loving that. I'm also excited to be able to represent the country of Germany today. As my husband said, it is a country with a lot of needs. It's in a lot of spiritual darkness. And I am thankful that God has chosen us to be able to go and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. My daughter and son-in-law, as I mentioned before, were in Germany recently, and my daughter was talking to one of the young men in one of the churches that they were in, and she approached him and introduced herself, and she asked him how long he had been a part of that church, and he said, "I am not a part of this church." She said, "Really?" He said, "No." He said, "I'm an atheist." She said, "Are you serious?" He said, "Yeah. I don't believe in God, but when I'm around you people, I feel something." And he said, "I don't know what it is, but it's like magic." And it touched my heart that he was able to feel the presence of God, but it also broke my heart that he had no clue what the presence of God feels like, that we take advantage of every time, every day. Doesn't matter if we're at church or we're at home. When you whisper the name of Jesus, he is there and his presence is there. Germany is in a lot of darkness. They are steeped in religious tradition. Centuries and centuries of religious tradition. But the younger generation of millennials are so hungry for something more. They've started searching on their own. We've had people in the States come to us and say, "Listen, I've got family over there in university right now, and they have a group together in their university. It's just a bunch of young people. They get together, they study the Word of God, and they worship, but they don't have a leader." That's how hungry people are. I've had others say, "Oh, well, Germany is a tough nation. Germany is a hard place to reach." And then a few weeks ago, I met an elderly lady from Germany who's been living in the States for a while, and we were talking about the country. And out of her mouth, she said, "People are hungry." They are. The enemy does not want us to believe that. He does not want us to believe that the people that we see every day, with people that we see in our neighborhoods in the grocery store, are not hungry, but they are hungry. And it's the same in the nation of Germany. And there are denominations moving in that do not have our truth, but they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says that the Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. And that's what I believe is about to happen in the nation of Germany right now. The Holy Ghost is being poured out, and there are people going in to share the truth of Jesus' name, of one God, Jesus' name, baptism, and the power of the name of Jesus. And I am so thankful and honored to be a part of that. And thank you so much for being a part of that as well. I'm going to sing a little bit in German for you right now, so you can see what a German, or hear what a German worship service is like. But you all know this song, so when I switch to English, please join in with me. If you know it in German, that's great too. Just join right in. Wie schön dieser Name ist, oh wie schön dieser Name ist, der Name. Oh, wie schön dieser Name ist, der unvergleichbar ist. Oh, wie schön dieser Name ist, der Name Jesus. Oh, wie schön dieser Name ist, der Name Jesus. Du hast keinen Gegner, keine vergleichbar.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. To give you, you can be seated for a moment. To give you some perspective of the need in Germany. Population of North Carolina is around 8 million. Germany's about 83 million. North Carolina has many churches that preach this precious gospel. Just Germany has 9. That's one church for every 8 million people. So imagine if this church was the only church in the state of North Carolina. That's what we're looking at. Germany deserves to hear this one God apostolic message. Amen. They deserve to feel the presence of God that we're feeling today. Amen. And so we're honored to be your hands and your feet. Pastors already made it clear that this church would be helping us. And we're just honored. We will do our best, Pastor, to represent well. Thank you so much. Pastor wanted me to mention our projects. We are moving to the nation of Germany. And really one of our most important projects has to do with our shipping. Now, our shipping entails everything to do with getting us from here and getting set up there. And if you've ever lived in Germany, you may know this, but when you walk into a German house, there's nothing but bare walls. Even in the kitchen, there's not a countertop, there's not a cabinet, there's nothing. There's just bare walls with some stubs coming out of the wall or out of the ground. And so we are just trying to raise money for a kitchen. And so we would like to be able to have a kitchen. So, and it's going to cost us around $10,000 to $12,000 to get that done for a decent kitchen. So that's really the most pressing thing that we have right now. And we've got enough money to get our stuff over there. We just need to be able to set up housekeeping once we get there. So if you'll just allow the Lord to deal with you as I'm preaching. We have no media. I mentioned the pastor. All we have is ourselves and a burden. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms, chapter 145. Psalms 145. How many of you here, somewhere in your life, you need a miracle? Raise your hand. Somewhere in your life. Wave it a little bit so I can see it. All right, look at this. Almost everybody in the house. Well, that's who I'm preaching to today, is those of you that need a miracle. Amen. And if you don't need a miracle, you can go ahead and check out, start Facebooking or whatever you need to do there. But no. Psalms 145 and 3. And of course, nobody knew what I was preaching today, but it just seems the whole service has been about how great God is. And so it goes right in line with what the Lord's put on my heart. Psalms 145 and 3. Great is the Lord. Does anybody believe that?
Yes.
And greatly to be praised. And his greatness is unsearchable. One translation said, great is the Lord. He's most worthy of praise and no one can measure his greatness. How many of you believe we serve a God that can't be measured? Amen. Praise God. Then in Job chapter 42 and verse number 2, there's a verse here. Job and God are having a conversation. And the Lord asked Job a question, and Job goes to answer him in Job 42 and 2. And God has a way of asking questions that he already knows the answers to. But here's what he said. Job's response back to God was, I know that thou canst do things for other people. Now, let me try it again. My bad. I know that thou canst do things at camp meeting. Let me try it again. I know that thou canst do things for people who never make mistakes. Okay, well, help me here. What does your Bible say God can do?
Everything.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Everything.
It almost sounded like you said everything. What can God do?
Everything.
Now, do you really believe that?
Yes.
Now, if you really believe that, do you understand how big of an umbrella that is? Do you realize what that covers if you really believe that God can do everything? What that means is no matter what your issue is today, God can take care of it. No matter what sickness you're facing today, guess what? God can take care of it. No matter what financial mess you're in, guess what? God can take, because God can do what? God can do what? One translation, it goes on to say, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. One translation said, I'm convinced you can do anything and everything and nothing and no one can upset your plans. Another one said, I know you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted.
That's right.
We're talking about Jesus here. I like this one. I know you can do anything and no one can stop you. Come on. I don't care what you're up against. I don't care what the therapist said. I don't care what report the doctor gave. The word of the Lord, the forever settled word of God said God can do. If you believe it, clap your hands and let's just believe God that before we leave today, that God that can do everything will work in this house. What can God do?
Everything.
I'm going to be honest with you. Listen, I'm going to break about a dozen public speaking laws today. Seriously, you're supposed to have crescendos and valleys and 3 to 5 points. I got 1 point and I'm just going to nail it for the next little bit. So judge me next time around. Is that all right? We like to measure things. If, man, we have a problem. We like to measure everything. And if you think about everything that we do is some way, somehow measured. If you work in an office, you deal with numbers and calculators and computers and measuring tapes. If you build stuff, you deal with yardsticks and rulers. If you like to cook, we deal with cups and quarts and ounces and grams and teaspoons and tablespoons and pounds. When we drive by the mile. We get gas by the gallon. Everything we do is measured. I mean, everything. I mean, if you think about it, the truth is we take our measuring tape with us everywhere. We measure all kind of stuff. Come on. It doesn't take us very long to decide whether we like somebody or not. But come on. You know what I'm talking about. We measure people, don't we? When you go up, you meet somebody. God bless you. Praise the Lord, man. God bless. Man, how you doing, man? And you go, I like that guy. Now, his picture's probably hanging down at the post office on the FBI most wanted list or something. But we just decided that we liked him. Amen. Or you go up to somebody else and you're like, praise the Lord, God bless you, how you doing? You shake their hand and you walk away and you go, I don't like them. Now, this is probably one of the finest men that ever walked in shoe leather, but we just made up our mind in a couple seconds that we just didn't like them. Now I'm here for the first time and everybody's been so nice to me, but this is what really happens when I walk into a place. Praise the Lord, Brother Lewis, my God, we're so glad you're here. Right, well, wonderful. Well, we're looking forward to hearing from your ministry today. Listen, is there anything? Can we just make yourself at home? God. Come on now. We don't only measure people. We measure circumstances. We measure services. Oh, listen, you ain't lying to me. I was raised in Pentecost, Jack. I know what I'm talking about. Midweek? We're going to have about a 4.5-incher. Come on, we decide before we get out of the car what kind of service we're going to have. All right, when's the last, have you ever come to a midweek service needing a miracle? Raise your hand. When's the last time you got out of the car on midweek going, oh yeah, today's my day. No, you know what, you were like, okay, we're going to go in, we're going to shake hands and be friendly, we're going to sing a couple songs, take up an offering, and we're going to hear some preaching and teaching, then we're going to sing a little bit and have a little altar time, then we're going to shake hands and be friendly, then we're going to go eat. Come on, did I leave out anything? Now, I don't know, I remember back in the day when everybody had two services, and I'm from Memphis, and so Sunday morning service was a little bit better than Wednesday, but Sunday night... All right, Jesus, you're on. Man, for truth, this is the truth. I mean, my wife and I, when I pastored my home church in Memphis, I went back to pastor it for a few years, and we were walking in the mall one day. We met a lady from our church, precious lady. This was on a Tuesday, so we had Wednesday service coming up, Sunday morning service coming up. And she had a friend from work that was with her, and she's like, oh, pastor, this is so-and-so that we've been praying for. She's the one with leukemia. And I told her, if you could just get to church on Sunday night. It's Tuesday. I waited till a friend walked away and I said, sis, I don't want to be offensive, but is God on vacation the next few services? She had it in her mind if she'd get there on Tuesday night. But listen, what I tell you what I'm after this morning is I'm after everybody's measuring tape. I don't care what your situation is. Listen, if God can do it on Sunday night, he's the God which was, which is, and which is to come. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm talking to somebody that didn't plan on a miracle this morning, but my God can do. Come on, if you need a miracle, clap your hands like you're about to get it. If you need a healing, praise the Lord like you're about to get it. My God can do. He's able. No sickness is stronger than you. Oh, I feel healing in this house this morning. What can God do? Oh, my God. Woo! So, in Germany, 20 years ago, we were missionaries there. Man, I was preaching a meeting in Mannheim, in fact, and all the churches had come together. And, man, we had a great time. I preached, Pastor, the simplest little old message, and I just called it Now Faith. And it came out of the scripture where now faith is some things hoped for. But I just titled my message Now Faith. And but the premise of my message was very simple, just that how we're quick to believe God for something later, but we have a hard time believing for it right now. And we do it, we see this played out on the phone. We're talking to somebody. They could be hemorrhaging. They're dying right now. And you're like, we're going to be praying. We love you. Okay, we're going to be praying. Okay, bye-bye. We're going to pray for them in a minute. When what we should do is say, you best sit down. We're finna pray right now. God's fixing to move right now. Come on, if he can do it 20 minutes from now, he might as well go ahead and do it now. Because God can do. So it's that simple. Just now faith. Believe God for it right now. Quit putting it off. Man, we had people get the Holy Ghost. We had notable miracles take place. God did all kind of good stuff. Man, it was one of those services that we left kind of on a holy high, you know? Just walk out and you're like, my God, what a day. Man, we're just kind of floating. We packed in the minivan. We had 4 or 5 guys that we'd won to the Lord with us, and we took off down the Autobahn. Man, we're kicking it about 120, 130 miles an hour in our minivan. Because that's all our minivan would do. Hallelujah. We had several hours to go. And my son at the time was about 4 years old. And he was starting to bounce off the walls. And so we needed to get gas anyway. So we pulled into one of these rest stops. Now in Germany, the rest stops can be huge. Sometimes they'll have a store and a hotel and a restaurant. Just a big complex. And this particular Exxon station probably had, I don't know, 60 or 70 pumps. It was just a big old place. People everywhere. Well, we get out and people are going their way. And at this time, I was about 320 pounds. So I was a big boy. And man, church was over. You know, I had my jacket off and I'm just sitting there pumping gas, you know, all 320 just out there. And I'm just relaxed, kind of rocking on my heels and thinking about Jesus and pumping gas. And my son, he was like a lot of sons. And we would wrestle and fight and scuffle. And he decided it was time to scuffle, but I wasn't prepared. I had my eyes closed. I didn't see it coming. All I heard was a little crunch of a rock on. And when I got my eye about halfway open, his fist hit my relaxed 320-pound gut. Why, boom! Oh, knocked the breath out of me. He took off screaming, and I took off after him. So you got to get the picture. There's a little blonde-headed cotton-top kid running and screaming. There's a fat dude chasing him, yelling death threats. Let me tell you something about 320 pounds. She's a little rough to get going. But once you get her moving, I feel a witness in this house. Once you get her moving, honey, you can Cadillac. I had her wound out, I'm telling you. I was about to snatch his little head up. I'm already in that phase where I'm starting to time it, you know. I'm fixing to grab him. And all of a sudden, now we're running through a parking lot here. All of a sudden, he just vanishes between two parked cars. So 1 second he's there and 1 second he's gone. Well, let me tell you something else about 320 pounds. Once you get it rolling, praise God. You don't just stop. It's a process. I mean, it's like a train. You got to know where you need to be stopped. You back her down ahead of time, you know? I couldn't. But I thought, no. He is not going to get away from me. So I'm going to tell you what. I was leaning back, y'all. You hear me? I mean, my hair was dragging the ground. I was going to make this turn. And let me tell you something else about 320 pounds. This place was a sea of asphalt, except one little 12-inch tile. Nice and slimy and slick. And when I went to put my foot out to make that turn, I stuck it right on top of that tile. Last thing I'll tell you about 320 pounds, she gets to the ground quick. I mean, I was, hey, listen, all you students, I was a science project in action. I had inertia, centrifugal force. I had all kind of stuff going on. Now, what happens when you fall? You try to stop yourself, right? Well, so here I am falling off, and I went to throw my right hand behind me to stop, break my fall. And all that weight, all that energy, all that force centered on one little right arm, and it went pow and flipped up on top of me in a manner I can't reproduce for you this morning. And I had never in my life broken a bone, but my arm just snapped like that. My face bounces off the ground. The next thing I remember is the young guys from the church and my wife around me. Hey, you okay? What's going on, Pastor? You all right? And I was a little loopy. So they get me up, and my hand is hanging around backwards. And my wife's like, baby, what's wrong? I'm like, I don't know, but something's not right. Something's not right. I was really nauseated. Well, I didn't know when you broke a bone, you got nauseated and all kind of stuff happened. I never had that experience. And I'm like, I'm just really sick, not feeling good. And she checks this arm. She's like, let me see your other arm. Well, I started sending signals to pick it up, but nothing would happen. And I'm like, I can't pick my right arm up. And she went to pick it up. When she picked it up, it was turning black. I talked to a medical professional that told me this was someone who worked in an emergency room. They said it's common when a person breaks an arm, it'll cut a vein or vessel, and it'll start pumping that limb full of blood, so it turns it black. So here I am. Obviously, it's broken. My limb is black. They get me in the restroom. I'm like walking like this into the restroom, get the grit and blood off my face. And I'm coming out to the car. And man, by now that the shock is over, and you know, I'm just kind of, I'm struggling, man. And my wife is sitting there by the minivan, you know. And to me, I kind of remember it all in slow motion. She's like, come on, babe. And I'm like, okay, babe. And man, I'm like, I'm going to be honest with you. I was not doing very good. I wasn't thinking about Jesus. And I'm almost to the van, and one of the young men that we won to the Lord steps in front of me. Pastor, he's just bawling. You just preached about now faith. Oh, yeah, he did. He sure enough did. And I'm thinking, I saw it going, and I'm like, no. I was not in the mood for a miracle. Here's the thing. Some of y'all came with the same mindset to the service this morning. You didn't come here in the mood for a miracle, but let me tell you, God's going to show up in this house, and he's going to start working some things, and he's going to start changing some things, and he's going to start healing some people, because my God can do. Oh, come on. I don't care what your mindset is. I want you to know my God can heal you this morning. My God can deliver you this morning. My God can change your mind this morning. He can do everything. I'm just going to be honest with you. I was aggravated. I had my measuring stick. Can I be honest with you? What I was thinking, all I was thinking was, get out of my way. My arm's about to fall off. I need to get to the hospital and get some drugs, okay? That's what I wanted to say. Now, Pastor, you've been proud of me. I put my best pastor face on. And I said, that is a good idea. Gather them around. We're going to pray for me right here at Pump 19. Come on, y'all get around me right here, right now. We're going to just believe God is able right now. I said all the right things out of my mouth, but my head's going, hurry up. They gathered around me. Now, I had taught these guys. We'd won them to the Lord, trained them. They didn't know anything. And so I had taught them, whatever you do for Jesus, give it everything you got. Because he deserves our very best. If you're going to clap those hands, beat them until they're red. If you're going to leap for joy, scratch the popcorn off the ceiling. If you're going to run the aisles, run until you're weary. If you're going to dance, dance with everything you got. Because Jesus deserves our very best. He doesn't deserve some half-hearted praise. He doesn't deserve some... He's worthy of our best. So they didn't know any better. The last thing I remember hearing is the guy who stopped me with his hand on my, he had his hand on my chest. He was like, he goes, God heal my pastor. I got my good hand in the air. Yardstick in the other. Oh, Jesus. And they start praying, man. They're praying around me. I peeked. I know it's illegal to look while you're praying, but there's about 15 people standing off, staring at us like, what in the world is going on over there? Well, they just keep on praying. They just keep on getting louder, keep on getting more excited. And man, I at first I'm just like thinking, oh, come on, for crying out loud. How long does it take to pray for somebody's arm to get healed? But then something started happening in me. And I went from just thinking, hurry up and get it over with. I caught myself repenting, saying, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, but I'm just so focused on my problem that I can't realize there's a problem solver. I got my eyes on everything going wrong. Boy, I'm preaching now, ain't I? That I can't see that God wants to do something unbelievable in my life. I'm going to tell you, somebody needs to take your eyes off your problem and get them on the problem solver. Because when you do that, all of a sudden you put down your measuring tape and you realize God can do everything, 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 everything. God can do. So I caught myself repenting. Then it went from there till I started kind of worshiping a little bit, saying, thank you, Jesus. Now you understand, my arm is black, hanging around, my thumb is backwards. It's hanging around backwards like that. I'm standing there trying to worship. Man, I peek again. We've got 30 or 40 people stacked up over here now. Man, they keep on praying. Now they're starting to dance and huckabuck a little bit around me. Y'all don't know what a huckabuck is. See you right now. Okay, I'm sure you've got some in the house. Now, I'm from Tennessee. This is how you huck a buck in Tennessee. It's those people that when they get to feeling, it looks like they got shot. Oh. We got some huck a buckers. I see y'all looking around. Y'all like. So they're dancing, man. They get to huck a buck, and I peek again. I promise you, there's 75 people stacked up, and they're all just along the sidewalk staring at us. And I'm like, I don't know what. I'm in the middle of a group of people dancing, screaming, talking in tongues, going in circles around me. And I'm telling you, the next thing I know, I found myself just saying, I believe you can do it, Jesus. I'm grateful for your healing power, Lord. You know what? Sometimes we come to church, and we're not in the mood for a miracle. But you go to church and you get in between a couple of folks that are worshiping God, and all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute. Oh, I didn't come ready for a miracle, but all of a sudden you'll start believing that God. That's why you need to be in church every time the doors are open, because you get around people who will worship your yardstick out of your hands. So, man, I'm telling you, they got to worship, and they worshiped my yardstick right out of my hand. And I promise you, I wasn't even thinking about my problem anymore. I was thinking about my Jesus. And God is my witness. My wife is my witness. Of no strength of my own, I wasn't even thinking about my arm. But of no strength of my own, my arm started moving. And I heard an audible pop, and it started rising. No strength of my own. About right here, I took over, and I saw that my hand was normal color, and my arm was put back together. I'm here to tell somebody my God can do everything. If he can put my arm together at a pump 19 at an Exxon station, what could he do in heaven? You this morning with a house full of people that believe God can do. Everything, 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 everything. Ushers, I need your help. Everybody sit down. If you need a miracle, lift your hand. We're going to bring you your very own measuring tape. Ushers, if we could do this as quick as possible. Help me get them out as quick as possible. Raise your hand if you need a miracle. Come on, get it high. We're about to make the devil mad. You don't want to miss this, I'm telling you. What can God do? That's it. Keep your hands up. They're coming. They're coming. We're going to pray just for a moment. Come on. I want somebody to start putting your yard to measure and take down. You just hang on to what you got right now. Just keep your hands on that. We're going to start praying. Come on. Come on. Somebody needs to start praying one more time about that sickness in your body. Somebody needs to start praying again about that marriage situation. Somebody needs to pray one more time about those children. Somebody needs to believe one more time about that financial situation. Somebody needs to believe one more time about that emotional distress and anxiety that you live constantly under. Everything. 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 Come on, if you need one, keep your hands up. Make sure we get you one. Now, I want to tell you, when God put my arm together, we went crazy in that parking lot. We screamed, we shouted. But I'm telling you, by that time, there's at least 100 people stacked up staring at us. We didn't care. Finally, we got our act enough together to get back in the vehicle. So here we are booking it down the highway, 120 miles an hour or so. And I would be sitting in my wife was driving, I was sitting in the driver's seat, and I couldn't stop weeping. I couldn't stop moving my arm. And then it just came over me. I'd hold it in, and all of a sudden it hit me, and I'd go, "Aw, he did it." And the whole van would blow up. Here we are going 120 miles an hour, and a van full of people going. Man, we're passing people, they're passing us, and I got tickled. And I thought, man, don't you know they're looking at us saying, man, they got some good stuff over there. And you know what? We had the best stuff over there. But the Holy Ghost told me, wherever you preach this message, I'm going to follow it with signs and miracles. And he's done it. And I tell that story, and most people respond like you all, but there's always somebody in the crowd that goes, well, Brother Lewis, that's a cute little missionary story. But how did you know it was really broken? I mean, just because it was black and hanging around backwards. Why is it we'll believe a Facebook post quicker than we'll believe a miracle report? Why is it we'll believe what the news anchor says quicker than we'll believe God's able to put an arm together in the middle of an Exxon parking lot? Your Bible said it. God can do. So the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, I want you to go have an x-ray. This is on our ride home. I said, no, that's doubt. I ain't doing that. Dealt with me again. Go have an x-ray. No, that's doubt. I ain't doing it. Well, then it started aching. And I'm like, yes, sir. I told my wife, babe, take me to the hospital. I need to go have an x-ray. She said, why? I was like, I have no idea. I just know he wants me to go have an x-ray. So I go in and I tell the doctor, listen, you know, if you don't mind, just check my arm out and you know, just tell me what's wrong with it. He said, why? Well, I said, I just got a little ache in it. You know, I just got a little pain. And so he flips it every which way and x-rays it. And then he comes out. Brother, come here. He comes out. And he, now German people, they're very forward, very direct. Wenn du hier Deutsch bist, du weißt schon Bescheid. If you're here and you're German, you know what I'm talking about. But he comes up to me and goes, ah, Mr. Lewis, the pain that you're having is reoccurring pain from the previous break that you had in your elbow. And in fact, it's healed quite nicely. Wait. I forgot. It was as though God took it from me. All I could think in that moment was, I've never broken a bone. So I said, sir, I've never broken a bone in my body. He goes, Mr. Lewis, the pain that you're having in your arm is reoccurring pain from the previous break in your elbow. And in fact, it's healed quite nicely. Tanya, my wife says I have a problem. And it's this. If you don't speak my mother language, I have this idea that if I speak louder and slower, maybe you'll understand. Can I get a witness out there? Yeah. So I look at him. I'm throwing in some sign language. I'm getting my point across. I'm like, sir, I never broken a bone in my body. He gets mad as a horn. I'm telling you what, his face turned red, and Tanya can testify this. He grabs my arm and just starts pulling me down the hallway. We go down a couple of quarters, and he's mumbling in German. I don't know what he said. I don't think I want to know what he said. He wheels me into this room, and there's a big backlit panel covered in x-rays, and he says, right there, your elbow was completely broken in two, and it's healed back perfectly. And that's when it came back to me. That's what God wanted me to be able to tell you. Yes, my arm was broken, and yes, God put it back together. Everything. If you need a miracle, stand up right now. Come on. Stand up. Get your measuring tape out. Come on. Unfold that bad boy. Come on. Here, we're fixing to do something with him. Pastor, I was preaching this message just a few weeks ago in Texas. In the middle of service. The platform was a little wider than this, but about the same group of people. And over in the corner, there was a lady just dancing, screaming, hollering, spinning. I didn't think nothing about it because everybody else was doing it, you know. And man, the Holy Ghost is moving. Church was, man, people started bringing up. We're going to do this in a minute. Not yet. Wait on me. Started bringing up our measuring tapes and getting rid of them. And man, when it was over, people lined up to tell the pastor what God had done in the service. It was powerful. But the one that moved me the most was when service was over and pastor and I are walking down the hallway together. And that little girl, eight, I don't know, maybe late teens, early 20s, is standing in a circle of other girls about her age. And she's on the phone and she's weeping. And the pastor said, hey, what's wrong? Everything okay? She said, she drops the phone. She said, oh yeah, pastor. She said, you know, I've always had cerebral palsy, hardly able to walk. But she said, when I walked up tonight and got rid of my measuring tape, she said, God loosed my legs. I've been dancing for the first time in my life. I've been spinning. I've been worshiping God. She said, I'm telling mom and daddy right now, guess what I did today for the very first time. But my favorite part of that is we rejoiced, wept, and walked on down the hall. A few minutes later, my wife comes with the pastor's wife. They see that little gaggle of girls looking out the window into the parking lot. And the pastor's wife says, what's going on here? They told her about the little girl's miracle getting healed of cerebral palsy. And she said, well, where is she at? I want to talk to her. They said, well, she's in the parking lot running circles. See, she's not only never danced, she never run before either. So she thought she'd try out her new legs in the parking lot. Hallelujah. I just want you to know, it doesn't matter what you came here today with. My God can do
everything.
Here's what we're about to do. I don't want you to come yet. I want you to listen for a moment. But when I call in a minute, I want you to bring down your measuring tape. If you're praying for a lost loved one, I want you to bring that measuring tape, throw it down. And I want you to start worshiping God as though you're holding that person's hand and they're praying through right now. How you going to act when that happens? Oh, but you don't understand. You don't understand, Brother Lewis. The more we pray for them, the worse they get. No. God can do. If you're praying for a financial miracle, in a minute when I call for you, I want you to come, get rid of your measuring tape, and I want you to start praising God as though your bills were paid and you had money in the bank. Oh, you don't understand, North Carolina's going through something right now, but we're just struggling financially. It's always been this way, this way. My family, no. I don't care, because God can do. If you're praying for a sickness in your body, I want you to come, put your measuring tape down, and start praising God as though the doctor just sent that report or gave you that call and said, you don't need to come back anymore. That diabetes is gone. Oh, did you feel that? Did you feel that? Somebody pulled out the, this is just part of who I am. No. Come on. The forever settled word of God said God can do everything. Hear me. No sickness is stronger than him. Are y'all ready? In fact, here's what I want you. I don't want you just to come and throw it down. I want you to come and tear it up. Come on, who's going to be the first? Somebody ought to be running down here. Come on, what is it you need? Come on, tear it up. Let's begin to worship. Come on, let's begin to praise God. Everything. Yeah, come on, praise him like it's already done. In this house, I rebuke every sickness. I command every spirit of infirmity to bow right now. Turn the people of God loose, and I loose healing and wholeness and wellness in this place.